Hi everyone, we're going live today with Cis Society with Devi and James to talk about polyamory. They'll be hopping in just a minute. They are conscious kink workshop creators and sex coaches, and I am really excited to drop into a conversation with them. So yeah, as soon as they hop on, we'll get started. And grateful to have you all here. Follow Cis Society for more. We will be doing these lives every week, same time, same place, with new leading minds of the new earth. To discuss this month's topic.
Aloha.
Hi.
Yeah.
Hi. Woo-hoo. So nice to meet you both.
Great to be here.
Beautiful. Yeah, I just want to start by thanking you for your time and welcoming everyone in. Hi, Anthony. Thanks for joining. We're here with Cis Society. We are a global community whose mission it is to transmute denser energies through exploring taboo topics and having the conversations that can be a bit uncomfortable around many things that the collective tends to turn their cheek away from. And one of those being this month's topic, which is polyamory. And so excited to have you both here to dive into it and to talk about it. And yeah, Alfina, I'll let you introduce Debbie and James, and then we can dive in.
Oh, I love you too. Grateful to have this wonderful with us here on Maui. And thanks for those of you who are joining us. Hi, Anthony. So yeah, Heather slightly did a small introduction. I'll do a formal introduction. I've known you both for I've known you for a couple of years since moving here. And I've just been so blown away by the amount of embodied love that these two carry in their presence, and how open and accepting and deeply compassionate that they are with everyone in their lives. And yeah, so with that, just a little bit more about them as individuals and as a couple. James would describe himself as a sensation artist, a somatic pleasure coach, and a hedonic mastermind. He's really an eloquent communicator with a supernatural ability to hold non-judgmental space for those on their pathway to healing sexual traumas and really empowering them into their full creative potentials. And then Miss Devi over here, aka Mama Suave, is the quintessential embodiment of the sensual divine feminine. She's truly a master body worker and creatrix who orchestrates all sorts of magical and healing experiences. And she's really used her own pain and transmuted that into this compassionate, loving, and safe container that she holds within her being for those. Whoa, it's windy in Maui. Maui likes that. Mama's like, yeah.
Jai locked me and ask her for some supernatural help.
Yeah.
With the beauty way.
Thank you, Lakshmi. So yeah, together James and Devi are really just this embodiment of a healthy, I'm sorry, this camera keeps tipping. Oh, hi Karen, so wonderful to see you on here, honey. They're just this beautiful embodiment of this balanced, juicy, sensual couple who are really inspiring others into alternative ways of relating and truly showing an example of what sovereign love looks like. So I'm just so honored to have them with us today.
I like what you said even more than what I wrote. That's awesome.
She's a good introducer. Yeah, again, thank you for the introduction, Alfina, and thank you both for your time and energy and being here today to unravel, unpack, and talk about polyamory through your experiences, through your perspective, through your work. Yeah, I'd love to just dive into it and connect with you both more deeply. And what's coming through to jump into is, what is polyamory to you? And what does that mean?
So Yeah, this is a question that I've actually really gone deeply into over the last few years. You know, a friend of mine calls it polyfuckery. You know, sorry, maybe I can't use that, but I did anyway. And, you know, it's that idea in its shadow form of a way of just going out and being able to have sex with anybody you want and not have any consequences or have to have any accountability. But the true meaning for me and, you know, so many other things that I've read and people that have been in this world for a long time is more about how you develop through conscious communication and radical honesty and, like, you know, bringing everybody and everything to the table, a true, deep, intimate connection, whether there's sex involved or not. I mean, sex can mean a lot of things. I'll just specifically mean, like, intercourse, you know, whether that's involved or not, you know. Mm-hmm. So, and then from there, you know, it's just a huge array of configurations that can take. You know, it could be just cuddle buddies, it could be hiking buddies, and it could be, you know, people that sit down and have these loving, beautiful conversations. And so polyamory is sort of that agape thing in many ways to me, and but with more of our human sensuality involved in it.
I love that you made that distinction too for people around, like, maybe what, how it's been this idea that's so, like, innately innocent and pure at its roots has been a little bit misconstrued and potentially misused in our society. And just recently I got invited to a sex positive picnic here on Maui in the community where we talk about things like this. And it was super interesting because at that picnic, I don't remember her name, but the little pixie girl, she was saying the definition of polyamory was all around just opening your heart to experiencing a loving connection with everyone.
Yeah, and that falls in alignment with what my definition is. Personally, you know, it's first of all, in love with myself. I am my own beloved. And in that space, then I can appreciate cultivating beloved relationships and that, to me, comes from a healthy place. And, you know, when we talk about polyamory, you know, often the word compersion comes up. And, you know, I know when I heard that word first, I was like, never had heard it. I had no idea what it meant. And ultimately, it's being able to celebrate someone else's joy, you know, instead of, as a woman, maybe if Elfina, you're attracted to my man, you know, I might get jealous and enraged and angry and start being bitchy and conniving and manipulative and not necessarily willing or courageous enough to take that out on you. Mm-hmm. But that might show up in other ways in the relating in one's primary relationship. And that's just not healthy. And so coming from that place of heart-centered bliss is an anchor, I think, for all of us to be invited into.
I love the definition, and I love that it's self-love, because that really is the foundation and the root for all of this. And what's coming through from what you shared, just like right off the top, is if you are feeling those things, right? Like, obviously, we can talk staying heart-centered and coming back to ourselves or taking a couple deep breaths, but, like, how do you actually manage the things that come up in the space of, like, jealousy or insecurity or not enoughness, like, if you do perceive that someone else is interested in someone that you love? Or, like, what would be your advice for someone moving through that space, right? Because I know I've moved through that space, and I'm just like, okay, I'm not going to react, I'm going to hold it, but I would love to hear your perspective on that and transmuting that.
So, you know, I mean, as a man, I mean, I've felt those things, that jealousy and that anger and that sense of rejection and less than. And I've been in a couple of relationships with women that were actual sex workers, you know, so I really had that stuff put up in front of me, like, deeply. And I had to really look into what was going on. And through that process, one of the things that I've learned is that whatever kinds of sensations are going on in my body have to do with me. The way that I label it is more of what I've learned. And so when I drop into that sensation and I can really own it, after a while, for me, what it's changed into is like my own deep empowerment and my direct line connection with the field of pure potentiality. And then I can consciously choose to make that be whatever. If there's a man that's attracted to, or a woman, you know, somebody that's attracted to my person here, wow, I can get pissed, or I can go like, man, I am with this person that people find deeply attractive. And what's even better is like, I can actually create a conversation with that other person and we can celebrate that together. I mean, I feel tears in my heart saying that, you know. It's just like, that's the beauty for me of that. Yeah.
You know, and Heather, you mentioned, I feel that tears in my heart. You know, you mentioned that aspect of not reacting and holding. And that's where truly the invitation comes in to cultivate a curiosity and ask questions. Because with more information, we typically can stop the story that's already writing itself in our brain and then making us believe that maybe there's something wrong here, when we can actually cultivate more insight and awareness around, like, wow, I want to lean into this. I want to know more about what's happening here between you and this other person, so that we can begin to relate more authentically and have better communication skills with our partners. Primary, but ultimately that healthy communication needs to be present with all players, essentially.
I just want to add on to that real quickly is that, you know, this kind of thing happens in every relationship. It doesn't matter if it's a monogamous or, you know, puritanical or whatever it is. It's like attraction happens. It's natural. I'll have an attraction. Somebody else will have an attraction. We all have those things. The beauty of the polyamorous field, or this kind of field, is that we get to talk about it and we get to put it into the light. And that's one of the definitions I think should be added into the polyamorous talk, is that, you know, you get to bring all that stuff into the light and talk about it. And really.
Yeah, what's coming through is it feels like curiosity is compassion, right? It's really like self-compassion, as opposed to putting yourself behind an invisible wall of a story, like really coming up with genuine curiosity, because we don't know what process that other person is moving through with another person until we kind of step in with love and openness. And yeah, I appreciate that redirect. It's so beautiful and so soft.
Yeah, I love that. And I just love that perspective of like, this is happening in all of our relationships, whatever we're labeling them as. And oftentimes when we are in a more monogamous style relationship and we feel an attraction or we feel a connection with somebody, then we feel shame come up around that, because we feel like that's the taboo. Like, we can't talk about that. We can't admit that. And so instead of sharing it and strengthening through the communication and strengthening through the curious compassion, we instead kind of like hold that and repress that. And then that develops into resentment and develops into jealousy. It develops into anger, and it has all these like side doors that it just starts to slowly like have these toxic leaks into the relationship over time. And then people don't feel fulfilled. They don't feel appreciated, so on and so forth. And that's kind of like the ultimate demise, like the slow demise of lots of relationships, is this core miscommunication and lack of honesty and integrity in the relationship. And from my experiences anyway. So that's a really interesting perspective. And I love that you brought that in too. Thank you for sharing that. And to dovetail what you just said, Alpina, the I call that the brick in the wall syndrome. It starts with one brick, you know, one uncommunicated truth that then collects another brick, and pretty soon you have a wall between each other that's completely impenetrable. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, as you mentioned, is somewhat of a demise of the relationship.
And, you know, I mean, just from personal experience, I can say that like, in some of my earlier relationships, my first marriage and whatnot, is that the dysfunction was already there from our upbringing, you know, whether all the messages that we got, and we came into this relationship as young 20-year-olds. And then when those things came up, I mean, I remember distinctly wanting to just talk about it, you know what I mean? And just like, what, you know, like explore it. But I didn't have the words for it. I had my own conditioning and my own triggers and my own stuff, and she did too. So, you know, in the process or in the attempt to try to find clarity, it created more anger and more separation, and our marriage ended in an affair and then a divorce, and we never got through that. To this day, we've never gotten through it.
Yeah, like the brick, like what lays the brick down is this confusion, right? Really feeling that concept that when we're inquisitive and curious in a space that allows things to stay open, clear, transparent, honest. And that's a really courageous space to step into, because I was in that space consciously in past relationships too, where I was like, oh, I'm not safe to speak this, or I'm not used to speaking this, or I can't say this out loud, or it'll push them away, kind of all these stories coming up. And then really remembering that curiosity, communication, transparency, boundaries are all kind of foundational elements of a healthy relationship in any regard. I know you, James, you're a sex coach, correct? Like you guide couples to find deeper levels of intimacy. Do you share that work together?
That's what we're building in our relationship now. When Debbie and I met, I was really moving into that field as a coach. At that point, I was more in the mindset of sacred intimate, and I've studied and been trained as a surrogate partner and these kinds of places. And yeah, through that process of learning and dropping deeper into that space, I've had a lot of opportunity to work more so with single people and more with women than men, but then also with some couples. And what I found is that it's mostly about the communication piece. It's mostly about being able to find in their body through sensation-based awareness their deep yeses and their deep nos, boundaries, desires, needs, and then being able to voice that in a space that gives them the freedom. I should say it's a space that gives them the freedom and the space, a container for that. You know what I mean? It's like, so that's, and then just, you know, as Debbie and our relationship began to really deepen, that shifted my desire of the way that I was doing things. So, you know, I don't have intercourse with people. I don't have oral sex with people. This is really more of like a helping facilitate people find a deeper voice through their sensations.
And role play and create role play, scenes that, can be stepped into and within a session and be worked through in a healthy dynamic, and then, you know, creating a feedback loop to where, like, this is an example of an unhealthy interaction. Mm-hmm. You know, what if you said this, or what if bringing up that curiosity.
I think we lost them for a bit, but yeah, what's coming up for me while they come back is to backtrack what James said about a partner and what that is. Never heard that.
I think you froze
before.
For a second. Yeah,
You did talking too. I just kept talking. What was coming up is, and I think you answered it, Devi, but you mentioned a surrogate partner, and I just would love for you to dive a bit more into that. I have so many questions coming up through this conversation, and I'm so grateful for it. But yeah, what is the space of a surrogate partner serve in a coaching
session
with you?
I really want to see if I can do this briefly and succinctly, but a surrogate partner is just what it says. It's somebody that stands in as a partner for somebody who's exploring how to do that. Mm-hmm. So it can take on a lot of different reasons why somebody might come in and do that, whether they've been in like sexless marriages or they've never had sex or they've lost all communication abilities or they just don't know how to approach finding a partner. And it comes out of the Masters and Johnson's work. It's officially like a triadic model. You have a therapist, you have me, and then you have the client, and there's always communication between all three. That's officially what a surrogate partner or surrogate partner therapy is. And then it can take on a lot of other mutations in that. And in a typical situation or a session, we start out, usually it's over a period of time, and we start out with communication exercises, maybe some very, very benign kind of touched exercises that might just be the hands and arms or maybe the face. And then as everybody is in agreement and things grow, then it can get more and more intimate.
Mm. And for those of you who are just joining now, just want to welcome you and just reintroduce this. These are this beautiful divine couple here on Maui, James and Devi, and we're here exploring polyamory and open relating and sovereign love. And James is just sharing a little bit more about his work as a somatic sensual coach and how you guys are really merging your dharmas together. And that's so beautiful, like to show them what it looks like, right? So I'm curious, and I'm curious, what is your guys' experience been in these realms with people who are more open? Maybe they are in open relationships, and how have you seen that either like work well or not work so well? And I guess like, how have you been able to navigate that?
I'm not sure I really understand the question. I mean, I can speak from my own experience of having had some just train wrecks of polyamorous relationships.
Yeah.
When I've been married twice and once for a 7 to 8 year period with my children's father in my 20s. And then at 35, married my second husband. Both were monogamous. Were intended to be monogamous relationships. Second marriage was 14 years. The first polyamorous relationship, I thought I had invited this woman who my husband had introduced me to, thinking that we would be great friends, and we did become great friends. She recently passed away, and so I just want to honor Michelle. And it honestly was the most complicated, complex relationship with a woman that I've ever had in this lifetime. And what it actually turned out to be, where I thought I was inviting this woman into my husband and I relationship back then as a threesome. I had no idea what polyamory was. When I heard that word, I connected it with polygamy. And so I didn't have, at that time in Las Vegas, it was just like, but for us it was a silent thing. No, what it turned out to be, where I thought I was moving into it consciously with agreements and some boundaries that they had agreed to, what turned out was that actually my husband introduced me to his lover, his mistress, and so it ultimately ended many years later with a discovery of this betrayal, manipulation, flies, and obviously we ended the marriage, and you know, cultivated a lot of pain and suffering, which had to be transmuted ultimately to have any healthy relationship moving forward. Second experience was an attempt to overlay that first one, and that was in my late 40s, actually. So, you know, 20 years later, again, thinking I was moving into a healthy dynamic with a lot more communication, a lot more consciousness, and there wasn't open communication. There was communication between him and I. We were primaries. There was communication between me and her. There was communication between him and her. And there was communication amongst the three of us. But the communication between him and her went in a way different direction that ultimately was this incredibly narcissistic, blaming, projection model that was quite painful as well. So after that very short experience, the first one was years in the relationship. The second experience was less than probably 30 days when I was like, this is not healthy, I'm out of this. Those experiences lead to really bad taste in the mouth as far as like wanting to dive into that. And to be, you know, completely upfront and honest, James and I are in a monogamous relationship. For the first time in my life, I am forming a secure bond with a human, and which feels amazing. Now we're sex positive and play in like the kink BDSM world and in the discovery of healing through my own trauma. I've experienced as a teen, my first sexual experience was a rape, and I've experienced multiple rapes. So I have a lot of sexual trauma that I've healed through and thrived through. And finally, now that I'm in my first safe relationship where there's authentic relating and fantastic communication and ultimately beautiful presence, that piece, to have both of us showing up present and alert, really compassionately in love and for love's sake, you know, I'm get to maintain my sovereign self. James is a beautifully sovereign human being. And then we have this we that we're cultivating and exploring together.
Team
Florida Sim. And that's not to say that we might, you know, we may become polyamorous in the future. Who knows? Right now, we're just dancing in this beautiful space of cultivating intimacy, and then ultimately seem to be these attractors for anyone and everyone, strangers, like coming up to us and being like, wow, you two are just radiating light and love, and what are you doing?
And we have some of that.
Do you coach? Do you, yeah. You know, so it's kind of, that's where we're stepping into this place of coaching and holding space for others, which kind of came at the invitation of others, actually not of our own impetus.
So I just would like to just add something on to that, just about polyamory, and Debbie hit it so well. It's like a couple or people moving into polyamory to try to make something better, like, or fix a wrong or heal a wound in that way, like between them, like, well, maybe we need to get another lover and that way we can, you know, be expressed or whatever, is not the right way to
do it.
What you want is to have this beautiful, healthy bond and attachment with each other. And then out of that big, deep love space and communion space, you can actually have space to bring somebody else in. And then it can be this really wonderful, honest dance, you know? And there was something else I was going to say, but I can't remember in that.
Yeah, that's a beautiful reflection And thank you so much for sharing so vulnerably and open-heartedly. It's so courageous of you. And it's really beautiful to share your experiences, because it's like you've tried these experiences and now you're navigating into a little bit different lane in life, and that feels really good for you. And it's also so beautiful to hear that you're also like, you know what, but maybe we would be open in the future. And I love that openness, and that's really what this new paradigm of relating is all about. It's like transcending the titles of monogamy and polyamory and just writing your own narrative that fits your guys' story, who you are now today, and understanding that story is always evolving and always shifting.
Mm-hmm. And I would just also, the thing that I remembered I wanted to say too is that I think we are fully part of polyamorous, mm-hmm. you know, because we have these beautiful intimate friendships, and we explore with people, and we cuddle, and we hug, and we get naked, and you know, all of these, it's just the love is more expansive and more inclusive, you know. So to me, that is the pure definition of polyamory. And it doesn't have, like I said, doesn't have anything or much to do with intercourse in that way.
Yeah. I like the idea of just letting everyone know that each one of us has the right and the courage and the agency and authority to design our relationship any way we want to. It doesn't have to look like our parents. It doesn't have to look like the societal norm. It's permission based, it's consent based, agreement based, open communicating. It's incredibly healthy, and it improves all of our relationships, including the ones with my family and my kids.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Shows up, right? Like, it's the deepest work and so profound. And thank you again for sharing so vulnerably and openly. And what's coming through is like in grounding into this sacred space, right? Like in this ultimately monogamous relationship that you're in, how do you maintain its sacredness? And like what's coming through for me is the concept of boundaries. And can you hear me? Okay, great. Coming through is the concept of boundaries. And I used to just think like, this is a boundary, you have to meet it or we'll never talk again, right? Like that was my first definition of boundaries. I'm like, I have this, like you have to do it. And now I'm seeing them as these kind of like flexible energy that kind of move and change. But how do you show up for and honor each other's boundaries in this space of like, you know, connecting to other people in a variety of ways? What does that look like for you?
Well, I will tell you this, it's really wonderful in theory. And then when you get into a space and you walk into a room and your partner is rifling through somebody else's suitcase of sex toys and letting somebody else spank them, you're kind of like, ooh, what's happening there? You know, like, oh, I think I'm all this, you know what I mean? And then it's like, you know, and that's, you know, and, you know, we have really clear communication and really good boundaries and nobody's doing anything wrong. But in that space, we get to actually explore. And as Debbie was saying, you know, like be curious about what that is and then be able to own my part of that, you know, and then know what is not my part of that. And then the other beautiful piece is that because we've been cultivating this secure bond, this secure attachment, this incredible container, we can feel completely shitty about something and know that we can come back into that loving, communicative space. We can talk about it. And, you know, I mean, something happened the other day and we had this really beautiful moment and we were playing around and there was, you know, some really wonderful fun sexuality happening, and I did something that triggered a memory, body memory in Debbie, and it just like shut the whole thing down. Mm-hmm. So we get to go through the whole thing. Like I get to feel like, oh my God, I've done something wrong. I'm a bad man and I'm not paying attention and or angry because you're not communicating with me and you're not, you know, why did you shut down? And then she gets to go through all of her stuff and we get to sit and talk about it, laying face to face and just hold each other and deepen our love and growth together is incredible.
And I think what's also important to note, the space that he was talking about at the beginning of this excerpt was a play party space or a dungeon space, where everyone's in agreement to be witnessed, but everything is very consensual. And then with what you just spoke into with this most recent trigger, I got triggered by I got triggered while we were in intimate space with each other.
I don't know. You can go.
And you know, I felt my chakras literally shut down, and previously in an unhealthy way, I would have maybe just like sucked it up and continued with what was going on, but be totally checked out and split, you know, abandon myself and cross my own boundaries. And, you know, we have such a healthy, thriving relationship that in that trigger moment, through sensation-based awareness, you know, I was able to be like, wow, we need to stop, collect myself into where I was feeling, what I was feeling, so I could identify what I was feeling and then communicate it and share about this past experience and then have a healthy conversation. So with presence, you know, be able to move through the discomfort in my own body and actually give it space to be felt so that it was fully cleared. Now that is like the essence of what beauty relating in this healthy style and way can bring. Because once that stuck old energy is brought up again, that's the trigger, right? Which is an opportunity if we choose to accept this mission and then be able to transmute it fully back to a space of love. And then at that place, within that space, then we have this juicy moment to be able to curate and cultivate what it is that we're wanting to call in and manifest with that open space that just freed up.
And, you know, just sort of dovetailing with that same situation with me, you know, like the first feelings of coming up of either shame and anger, you know, in the past, I would have just shut down and gone quiet. Or I would have lashed out, and it would just have created this huge, could have been 3 or 4 days of just being pissed off with the person that I was with or at the person that I was with. And and that's the kind of stuff where that brick in the, you know, that's another brick in the wall, right? So we, you know, that the brick came up, but we didn't put it in the wall. I'm maybe overusing the analogy, but that's kind of thing. But to get it, right? It's like, we don't have to build walls. We can pave. That's it. We'll make them into pavement.
Make it into the golden street or the or the rainbow bridge. We love to refer to in Maui and beyond. You know, in that unhealthy space, I would have gone to the wrongness of myself as an empath. That's typically what empaths do. Is, you know, they go into self blame and. And that can shut down sexuality and sensuality in a huge way. So it's important to, you know, cultivate healthy communication, especially in all the realms of our own personal vulnerabilities, so that we can be safe and vulnerable with each other. Mm. And I think that's how we really.
You're breaking. Oh, a little bit.
Can you hear it now?
Yeah, sort of. You're coming in and out.
Sharing about they are able to create a space of safety and vulnerability because of these conversations and this
transmutation that's happening in real time. And I would love to just hear a little bit more about, like, for people who are maybe in a committed partnership and they're curious, or just in the future, they're curious of, like, how can I open this up a little bit more? How can I step into more sovereign relating? What does that look like? Like, what would the advice that you guys have for these people and how they can start to take steps? Maybe it's what you coach people on too. How they can start to take steps into more sovereign and open relating in a way that's not going to take away from their sacredness of their connection.
Well, the first thing I want to do is just throw out a little resource. There's a book called Sexual Agreements by a woman named Amara Charles. It's a little bit hard to find. You just have to go to her website and send an email, but they are there, and it's one of the better books about communication, and it is about polyamory and non-monogamy, but it's also written in such a way that it encompasses any kind of communication, any kind of relationship. So that's one thing. And then the other is, before exploring into this opening of the relationship, really, really get clear in yourself, both or three or however many parties are involved, of what are your true boundaries, needs, and desires. And that, for us, comes through that training around somatics and sensation-based awareness, and the breath and the movement and the meditation and body work, touch, and really explore what is available here and here before trying to step into that.
I still like boundary, the word boundaries just keeps coming into my consciousness. And it's like, when you are moving through that process with a partner, new relationship, of like setting these boundaries, what does that look like? And like, what if the other person isn't able to meet them? Like, what if they're like, hey, I can't meet that? Like, how would you suggest to a client, like, how to navigate that space? Like, what's the difference between maybe like a loose boundary or like a non-negotiable? Like, how do you kind of differentiate?
You mentioned earlier where, you know, you used to have these hard boundaries, and then you realize that they can be flexible and flowing and living. So that's where an agreement is a much healthy, like, communion between two people, as opposed to a boundary, which is, you know, I mean, I used to live my life like, you give me a rule and I will intentionally break it. You know, well, that's something small.
Well, yeah.
Which is what we were talking about, deconstructing.
You want to deconstruct the walls.
In relationship, I think agreements are a much more effective way of asking for what it is that we want, need, and desire, and actually getting it, because it's a living, thriving entity, as opposed to a barrier, which is like, don't cross this. Mm-hmm. And if you do, there's consequences. And it holds a way different energy if, you know, just right now there's an invitation to sit into the word boundary, feel what that feels like in your body, and feel what the word agreement feels like in your body. Like, they carry such a different vibration. Yeah. And so...
And I really love what you do.
A wall, and the other feels like a dance. Like, it's like the absolutely energy that I'm in it.
I really love what you said about the boundary being a living thing, you know, like... And it's an agreement, you know, the one thing about a non-negotiable is that it's contextual, because that non-negotiable in this context could be a negotiable, or even a heck yes in this situation. So, like, for me, is the foundation of that is being able to come back to a container where the agreement is that you can talk about things, that you can open up, that you can be honest, and you're not going to get shamed and battered for having a feeling or having made a misstep somewhere, you know?
It's like, yeah, the attraction is always going to be there, you know? And it's kind of breaking up with the false narrative that one person can actually fulfill all of your wants, needs, and desires, and meet the mental body, meet the emotional body, meet the heart body, meet the sexual body, meet the physical body, and meet the spiritual body. Like, trust me, you can learn anything from this conversation. Is, you know, we need to cultivate, you know, like, healthy relationships with, like, Elfie and I have a certain relationship. It's super playful and it's fun and we laugh a lot. You know, I'm super curious about all of the magic because I'm a magic creator as well, and I'm a mermaid fairy, and she's an elf mermaid, and all of these ways that I can't possibly, like, do that here.
I'm more of a mountain dwarf, or I'm like Pan, you know, the satyr that's out like, wow, we're gonna do this thing, you know.
This is an elf party. I love it.
Relationships can really actually come into some beautiful fruition. As one of my dear friends in the Maui community here, which I've learned so much from. She has such an incredible depth of knowledge and experience. Is this way of what she was describing as, you know, I have a primary and we have sex together, intercourse, and cuddles and all kinds of other things, you know. And then I have a couple girlfriends that, you know, we kiss and cuddle. And I have another guy friend that, like, you know, we work kind of in the dungeon space together. It's like I'm the dominatrix and this is her, not me. And all of these ways where she laid out like seven different people that she has, she's cultivated non-sexual intimacy with and considers all of that polyamory. And that's just an invitation to just have a whole lot of fun, adventure, and juicy experiences in one's life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you for clarifying that once again. That's something that I have actually learned, like, just to share a vulnerable share. For the first over 2 years that I moved to Maui, I was actually celibate. Like, I didn't have any sex. It was the longest I've been celibate since I've had sex, you know, for the first time. And it was through this experience that I got to have so much pleasure in unraveling all of the layers of intimacy and sensuality and sexuality that reside outside of just pure penetration. And it's so delicious and yummy to have that available to you. And almost when you have an agreement with one person, I mean, in my case, it was an agreement with myself and, like, God to, like, be celibate. But it was, like, because I almost had this agreement, or you guys would have an agreement, it opens up the space to explore so much more with other people that you might not explore, because if you just went to sex, it's easy to go to sex right away sometimes. Mm-hmm. And so it actually just opens up so much more pleasure and so much more opportunity to experience different types of relating with different people.
Yeah. Actually, that's how we got together, to be honest.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we met, I think you were heading to Maui to teach a class here, and we met at a dinner party. The first day he arrived, I think, straight from the airport, and then we cultivated a friendship. He was very clear that he was also not having intercourse with anyone, and so ultimately that put me at ease. Mm. So here wasn't, you know, this wasn't like someone who wanted something from me, you know, that just was penetrating me with his energy to get to actual penetration. So immediately I was at ease. We got into, like, this beautiful, sweet, like, cuddle space and kissing and as friends. And that relationship of just cuddle connection and beautiful conversations on the phone and all the adventures that, you know, we were having over a year. Then when we finally did have the opportunity to, you know, he'd come home from, or actually had been just visiting Maui on a
a surrogacy job that he had had on the mainland, and I was super curious because I didn't know much about like what that is and what that does. So I was asking lots of questions, and he was sharing, and you know, we were in this open space, and I think we were naked in that moment.
Close to it,
yeah. Probably, like 80% of the time on Maui. Yeah. We don't wear many clothes here, and or I don't. he had mentioned something that had happened in LA with a friend of his that, and I was like, boom, I felt this experience in my heart, and normally I wouldn't speak into that, and I would just kind of like go into this quiet space of hurt. And at this age and stage of my life, I'm like, fuck that old way. I want to do things like differently. I'm going to lean into the tension. I'm going to lean into this discomfort. And, you know, I just happen to say like, wow, you know, if you and I were in a relationship, like that wouldn't work for me. Like there's no boundaries there. You know, like I would need this and I would need that. And, you know, how would that feel if, you know, we were in an intimate relationship, in an agreement-based thing, and each time you're coming back from a job, I'm hearing all of these things that I'm not prepared to hear. And that was the impetus or the invitation. You know, I didn't give him any demands or ultimatums in that space. We were just friends. And he actually came to me a few days later and said, I decided to, you know, really, well, I'll let you speak, because this is like, but blew me away, actually. Sorry, it's a little windy on Maui.
Well, yeah, in that, you know, just as a brief, I went through over a year of where I wasn't having penetrative sex with people. And in that space, what I discovered, and I remember, like, you know, when Debbie and I would be in a snuggle space and that kind of a thing, where my energy was really coming back into me instead of like going out into that and like, you know, trying to get something. I was really in a headspace of wanting to explore the deeper desire and sensuality in my body that wasn't just about me performing and it all be, you know, depending on having a heart on, you know. It's like, I was really trying to dissect that in my mind, and that led me into a lot of situations where I recognize how women penetrate, and they go after, and they're like, well, where is that thing, and I want it, you know what I mean, and you know, can I touch it, you know. It's kind of, and also in that, well, even for a few years before that, just exploring relationship, and I found out a lot about what I didn't want. And then when she presented this idea to me, and the, you know, this love to me, and this, and I did step away, and I was in the frame of mind and heart to be able to go like, this is worth stepping into. And James, are you going to step out and go and do these things and continue on this path, which is my path, is heading out and continuing traveling around the country, or are you going to step into this thing, you know, and knowing that, you know, the shadow side of that is like, there's a certain amount of freedom shut down, there's a certain amount of like privilege, and you know, like all the things that I have been doing and experiencing, and you know, even some of my more hedonistic nature, but the capacity to recognize what was being presented here, and then the discernment to actually and desire to step into that, and with a more clear idea of what that is than I've ever have in my life. So yeah, it was a like, and it's been completely worth it, absolutely. Mm.
Yeah. And I think you're speaking into the quality of emotional intelligence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
being able to recognize that in another human. Beautiful.
Sensuality.
Wow, that's a beautiful way to end this conversation.
Yeah, so beautiful. Thank you for wrapping it up with so much love and devotion and honesty and courage, really, to step into something new and recognizing that a monogamous relating style is like there are some sacrifices in that, especially when you've been interrelating in different ways. And yeah, I really appreciate both of you, your souls, your hearts, your insights, your love. And so grateful to have had this conversation today. And yeah, if anyone on the call or rewatching the replay wants to connect with you two, what is the best way to do that? If you want to post it in the chat, if you desire to work with them or you have questions about today's call, let's make it easy for them to connect with you. And Elfina and I, we're Cis Society, and we have these Instagram lives every single week. This month's topic is polyamory. We just had a really incredible conversation with these two souls. Please feel free to watch it on our page, Society World. And yeah, we're really grateful to be here. And yeah, we'll see you next week. Do you have anything else that you want to add,
Elfina? Would it be the easiest way to just link with your Instagram then?
Right now, yeah, that I have an Instagram, which obviously we share. Mm-hmm. And then we both have cell phones and
Really the only way to connect with me is via phone, so just to call me. But since I'm not sure if I'm willing to give my phone number out in this space, through James's Instagram. Absolutely. Until I get a little more like computer savvy with all the things.
And then we have a lot of other things, you know, websites and different things like profiles and Telegram groups.
We'll link all of that.
Send Debbie a carrier pigeon. That might be the best way to reach her on Maui.
Coconut wireless. Telepathy is my first language. So.
Yeah. Really awesome. Yeah. Communicate in the dream realm. It's obviously the best choice.
In the astral realm at night when I'm sleeping. I mean, I'm working, but that's really the best way.
That's the real work. Well, I just echo everything Heather said. It's been such a joy, such a treat. I feel like we could talk for hours and hours, but maybe we'll do a part two.
Okay. Open to it.
Thanks everyone for watching and joining. So much love. Bye-bye. We'll see you next week.
Thank you,
Heather. So much love. Aloha. Thank you.